Hello, it's Meg again, and welcome back to part two of The Fight Between Carnival and Lent by Peter Bruegel. We'll jump right back in with more analysis of the painting. So, some other people which capture my attention are a group of figures which appear to have amputated limbs or struggle with their mobility. They are interesting to me because of how they are positioned. Two of them have bodies pointing towards the church, as if making their way over for aid, but are looking at the inn and the individuals celebrating. To me, this is showing how although they require the help from the church, they are drawn towards the sin happening before them. I also think that the artist may have intended for these figures to actually join the left side, as the figures do seem to be correctly sectioned, and therefore I would assume these two had already given in to sin, especially because many of their group already have their backs turned against the good side. Many other figures stand similar to them, as each person aligns with the side they seem to be positioned on, falling into categories of judgment or redemption. There are around 200 individual people within the scene. Even though we see a lot of similarities to Bosch and his painting, The Garden of Earthly Delights, Bruegel tends to keep his work free of supernatural beings, making his a little easier to relate to for the ordinary person and their lives at the time. It instills a very similar fear, just as the before mentioned painting would have, but now with an added level of realism. Bosch is showing us a harsh and intense aftermath, which could maybe follow his painter's scene. Bruegel, however, fails to show the consequence of the people's actions, and instead presents the revolt happening at the time, leaving people to understand and interpret the painting in a way which fits their own side to the Reformation, although arguably the behaviour being displayed could be more in line with paganism than Protestantism, and it appears to remove all aspects of God from the celebration, and at first glance I wouldn't have said it was a religious festival at all. This is the artist's critique of the celebration, which he believed didn't tend to align with God's wishes at all, as if people had lost the sense of what it truly meant, but at the same time somehow highlights how Protestants were raising the issue with the overly suffocating rules that came hand in hand with Lent and the Catholic Church. The inn itself has a sign which reads Blue Barge in Dutch, and is named from the well-known poem usually read around the time of Lent. In its upper windows are a couple who look as if they are kissing. To the left of them is a man, vomiting out of the window, from what we can assume is drinking too much alcohol. There are other patrons in the inn who are drinking and playing or enjoying the music and dancing. All of these individuals are somehow partaking in sinful behaviour. Outside, there is a small tent. Apparently, this is the site of a play being performed, entitled The Dirty Bride, where a drunk man agrees to take a lady for his wife, before sobering up and realising she's in fact ugly and unsuitable to wed. The actors are seen dancing together while a masked man is collecting money for the show. In the square, not far from this performance, is another, a play said to be called The Catch of a Wild Man. Although I can't find any record of this play, so I am unsure what it is about. If you continue to look up the street, you can see a large group of people in brown cloaks being led by a piper. Research suggests that these people are lepers who are on a pilgrim to the church in search for God's help. On the right side, just within the entrance to the church, is something under a sheet, which is believed to be a statue. This was a common practice in Catholic churches around Lent, in order to build its people in preparation for Easter Sunday and to heighten the senses. All statues and crucifixes would be covered, as well as any other art that was situated inside the church. If you look slightly left, on the outside of the church, there is a couple leant against the wall, praying. They are surrounded by people peddling their products, which involve food and other goods to sell. There are also people carrying chairs towards the church. This is a peculiar sight, but also could be the artist saying that the people in the square were poor, as it was often custom to bring your own seats to church if you couldn't afford to sit. The richer people would have seats waiting for them inside, and would have priority to sit near the front to listen to the preaching. This information could be supported by the fact that these peasants were using the side entrance as opposed to the large doors facing us, where more wealthy people would be permitted to use freely. There is even a gent who has a seat carried for him. This could mean that his wealth is not great, but he also does not struggle as much as the others in attendance. I think this also points out how all of these people would attend the same church as a community, despite their different levels and status. The wealthier people are also seen giving to beggars in the street. This was probably because of the holy presence around them and the reminder that God is watching, as opposed to them giving charity because they want to. We can see this as the wealthy will have walked past the poor on the left-hand side around the inn, but chose to give to the people on the right, which I think was an intentional choice made by the artist in order to prove that the charity given to the people in need was performative. There are certain aspects to the painting that cannot be assigned to either side, as the people just seem to be going about their daily life and therefore do not fit into good and evil. For example, the baker who is just selling his products and the woman out front just cleaning. I believe they hold significance, as at the time there would be people avoiding the confrontation that would surely follow the Reformation. The group of men and women in front to be throwing up crockery and then catching it again, but some have missed and there are smashed pieces on the floor. This could maybe represent the uncertainty of the movement and also how fragile the idea of religion can be, especially when it regards its change. If you look right at the painting's centre, there is a well with a woman retrieving a bucket. Her vegetables are sitting by her feet as she seems uncaring of the battle that is about to erupt in front of her. She greatly contrasts both jousting figures as she goes about her usual errands. On the other side of this well is a man and a woman who represent the end of the carnival's festivities as they turn their backs on us and it, having partaken but now choosing to return home in order to relinquish their joys and have their sins forgiven in the following days as Lent begins. I can imagine many other figures within this image would go on to follow their example and attempt to forget their current states in order to save their souls in the eyes of God, reminding us that these are still God-fearing men who believe in a higher power. If you look at the couple's feet, you can see they are pointing right, whereas the jester in front very much intends to enter further into sin and towards the inn. But the couple's feet suggest that they are now turning towards God. One thing that interests me, much like in Bosch's work, is that certain images have been covered that we can only see now due to X-ray. A number of corpses have been removed or painted over by someone and replaced by what we can see today. Some of these prints did make it into copies and sold at the time, but have since been destroyed. We do not know if this was the artist's doing or possibly removed by someone else, an attempt to mellow the piece or hide wrongdoing from the church, away from the public. Now, onto the painting as it stands today, and the physicalities of it. It is a typical landscape of its time and falls under the world's landscape category, meaning it hosts a slightly higher view of its inhabitants. The painting is large, which is what allows so many things to be placed within without losing its important details. It shows a throwback in time for us as modern viewers, but also for the viewers at the time as the picture was shown, as this sort of festival was outdated even to them. Their celebrations would have been ever so slightly more modern than the one shown. Of course, this was still far from the carnivals and festivals that happen today in 2022. Researching this painting has been quite interesting. Because of the time period, there is little information available and practically none from the artist herself. So lots of the things I've mentioned today are based on opinion. I hope you've enjoyed inferring from this image with me, and I have given you an insight into the Protestant Reformation happening in the 1500s. Some key things I'd like to leave you with are the idea of judgment and how that plays into the artist's work. I would also like you to continue looking into the details of this art for anything that I have missed or failed to mention. Thank you for listening, have a lovely day, and goodbye.